Empower Radio presents The Miracle of Healing with Lisa Campion. Meet healers, learn different modalities, and hear empowering stories of people on their healing journey. The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio. Here's your host, Lisa Campion.
Hey there, I'm Lisa Campion, and this is The Miracle of Healing on Empower Radio, where conscious people come together to explore the world of healing and heal the planet, one person at a time. We have a very special guest today, calling all the way from Dubai. We have Melanie Oliver. And Melanie is a psychic and a healer and intuitive and relationship expert that she is using her gifts and her connections to spirit to help. She's really figured out a very powerful way to help read people's soul blueprint and help them detect the energetic blocks that keep them from opening their hearts and really having the life and the relationship that they desire. And with her expertise of healing, helping women heal deep emotional wounds, she now just like created these amazing programs to help people move past their trauma, past their negative, past relationships, and really learn how to open their hearts again so they can find the love that they want in life. Sounds awesome. Like we need that. I need that. We all need to help heal our broken hearts. And she's created these beautiful programs, two programs, one called Healing the Broken Heart and the other called Healing Relationship Patterns, where she helps women who are heartbroken and haven't been able to open their hearts to attract their life partner, release all of their blocks, and really bring the love that they so need and deserve and want back into their lives. Melanie, thank you so much for being on the show. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Thank you for having me.
So I think this is such important work you're doing, helping women heal their broken hearts.
It is. And like you said, everyone needs a little bit of healing their heart.
Yeah, definitely. So tell us a little bit about how you came to the to do this work.
So I think like every healer, I started off with trying to heal myself. I grew up with a lot of traumas. I'm not going to go into my list of traumas. And I did get into a lot of self-sabotaging patterns, and just basically I was on a self-destructive mode, and I spent 10 years trying to heal myself. I did therapy, but then I started to learn all of these different techniques and healing modalities, and eventually came to do this work. But in terms of healing the broken heart and healing and being a relationship coach, it wasn't actually planned. I didn't seek out to be a love coach. It just kind of happened naturally. And what I noticed with clients that I was attracting and working with, it ended up being, you know, women who are heartbroken or who are stuck in relationship patterns. So it was just kind of one thing led to the other. And this is now what I do.
That's beautiful. I'm so glad you're doing it. And, do you feel like there's a particular way women's hearts break differently than men's?
Actually, to be honest, not really. It's very interesting because I'm also working with men, and at least the men that I work with as well are very sensitive, and it's actually very similar, very similar. And it really depends because I have, there are men obviously that are very focused on healing through the mind. But having said that, I've worked with a lot of women as well that try to heal through the mind. And this is actually where I see a lot of people, both men and women, get stuck when they heal through the mind. So my focus is really healing the emotional wound. And this is where I see people get stuck a lot. They don't know how to process their emotions, both men and women.
Right. It's like, if it's the heart is sort of one of our emotional energy centers, right? So it's really hard probably to use your mind to access that part of our being, you know, like the emotional part of us doesn't really, it sort of has its own language, its own logic that is often very contrary to what our mind is telling. Your mind is like, get over it. He was, he was a jerk. Like, why do we even still care? And your heart's like, ah! So
Yeah, and with the heart, it's a, and with emotions, it's about feeling and allowing. And sometimes it doesn't make sense to our minds. And you can analyze your issues to death, but if you don't process the wound, the emotion, to allow yourself to feel it in your body and release it, you'll stay stuck in patterns forever, really.
And how do you help people? Like, how can we do that? What does that even mean to release them?
What I have found is, because I have done a lot of my own inner work, it supports the people that I work with. I'm able to take them where they don't want to go. I'm able to take them to their depth. So part of it is working with my consciousness and their consciousness, heart to heart, if that kind of makes sense. By continuing being on this journey and going deeper into myself and seeing myself and yeah, just going deeper into my own journey, I'm able to take people further into their own journey. But so basically what I do is I hold the space in the session for them to go deep into their own emotions. A lot of people are scared to feel. They feel their emotional wounds. They feel that it's too much for them to handle. I'm able to just pull it out gently and hold the space energetically for them to cry, to grieve, and to show them by taking a little bit of it in my heart that I understand. And I think this is, and I can feel their wound. And this is a big part of the healing. When they feel that I can feel it and that I can connect, I can relate, it's like they just open up and let everything go, if that makes sense.
So Melanie, why do you think people have such a hard time letting go of these emotions? Like, how do they get stuck in there?
Well, firstly, I think that, this is a life skill that is so important. It's actually essential, especially for our soul growth. And it's something that we're not taught in school, or, you know, even our parents don't teach us how to process our emotions, what they even mean. So part of it is that people don't know. They don't know what to do with their emotions. They don't know how that they even need to, quote unquote, process them. And a lot of the times, because they don't know how, they just feel stuck there. And what happens then, I believe, is that they just kind of push it aside. So they don't deal with it. So I think part of it is a lack of education. And then that's when a lot of people, once they see that they're, you know, stuck in patterns, then they start to explore things like healing, for example, and, you know, therapy, psychotherapy, and then start to understand that, hey, actually we need to look at our emotions and work with them.
Do you find that there's patterns that go back to people's childhoods? Is it, you know, are we sort of working through our childhood wounding, and do you have to go all the way back to the childhood to kind of begin to clear the heart?
Absolutely, yes. Yes and no. obviously, if it's something like a recent grief, it doesn't have to be childhood. It could be just processing grief. You know, for example, I worked with two clients last year who were not able to find a job, and they had blocks for months. One of them was blocked for, I think, 2 years. And the other guy, he was about 6 months. And both of them, incidentally, one of them had lost their father, the other one lost his mother, and were not able to attract opportunities, job opportunities. And so I worked with them just on grief and accepting the lady was her father's passing, and the gentleman, he was his mother's passing. And in both cases, the lady... 2 weeks after we really finished working together and she processed the grief, she got a job offer.
Wow, that's beautiful.
So it doesn't necessarily have to be childhood. It can be something recent. But in terms of relationship patterns, another example is sometimes the two programs that I run, one of them is Healing the Broken Heart. So that's just, that can be a recent ex, for example. Whereas if it's deeply rooted patterns, then yeah, it's definitely childhood.
Hmm. And it seems to me like everybody's looking for their soulmate. Do you believe in soulmates? Tell us what you think about that.
Oh, I have a whole a whole lot of thought on this, and especially this whole scene of twin flames.
Yeah.
And I have seen more damage than good, to be very honest, especially. So basically, going back to the childhood wounds, if you are very wounded and you have lots of, you know, childhood wounds, you carry them inside your body. And this is what you're putting out, you know, every day into your reality. And that's, and you will attract someone, if you're not conscious, you will attract someone to trigger those wounds. So that you can see yourself and heal those wounds. And what I see a lot of the times is women or men that have a lot of wounds attract a toxic person that will just, they are just feeding the emotional wound. So they have a, they quote unquote have a strong connection. So they think that it's their soulmate because the connection is strong, but they're connecting to each other through their wounds, not from a place of love. And then eventually they'll get into patterns. And I see this so often. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it totally makes sense. I always say, like, people are like, I think I found my soulmate. I'm like, oh, I'm so sorry. Look out, you know, like, I think
good luck.
Good luck. Exactly. Strap on your seatbelt. Exactly how I see it too. When I'm working with my clients, it's more like that those soulmates we have such a strong attraction for, or they're, you know, we feel so pulled towards them, and they're designed to, like, magically stir up all of our stuff and put it in our face, yeah, so we can work on it, you know. And I agree with you about the twin flame. I'm not a fan of that really concept. And I worked recently myself in my healing practice with a woman who left her perfectly good husband. Like, it was a really functional, yeah, loving relationship, because she was, you know, determined to go find her twin flame. And I don't even really know what that means. You know, people have, I think, a story about this perfect,
yes,
you know, spiritual partnership that's gonna be somehow easier than regular life.
Yeah.
And I don't know if people are,
I am right there with you.
Yeah, it's not really, I'm not really a fan of that.
Yeah, and I've seen this so often that I'm kind of put off. I don't use the word twin flame or soulmates. I say life partner.
Yeah.
So people, actually what I have seen in several cases that they did find, let's say, their soulmate or life partner, it wasn't this big, huge attraction and deep connection. It was very subtle and gentle. And it was over months that they realized that they were soulmates, I guess you can say, or life, you know, meant to be together.
Mm. Yeah, I think it's a funny thing. And I think we have a couple of, you know, I see things more like soul family. You know, everyone in your life that you can't figure out how to get rid of, that's your soul family. You know, those, the, yeah, ones that, if you could throw them back, you would, but you can't, you know, it's like, those are, that's our soul family. And
I like that.
Yeah. And, you know, I think we have really two kinds. Like, I think of the soul mates as the ones that get in your face and bring up all your stuff, and they're very passionate. They don't always last that long, but they're, you know, they're very stir us, and they sort of stir growth. They stir transformation. They create opportunities for us to step into our power,
yes,
usually through friction, you know, through trouble. And then I think of the life partner as more like the shoulder to shoulder soulmate, like somebody who stands next to you and holds your hand and walks the long-term road with you. And that, to me, at this stage of my life, sounds like a lot more appealing. I don't know.
Oh, yes. I agree.
Yeah.
Totally. So, yeah.
What do people do? Like, how does this work of clearing the heart, of clearing the grief, how does it work to attract?
I really focus on the emotional wounds, on releasing those. But I did, after working with so many different people, I did notice that there are five different, let's say, elements that I work with. So one of them obviously is the mind. So I do work with, you know, shifting people's perception. The other one is your consciousness. And this I work with energy healing and different sort of visualization exercises. And then obviously there is the emotional, which is where I find people get stuck. And then there's also the earth element, which is, you know, the action that you take and the practical aspect of things. So I do take people through certain layers. So depending on which program or what we're focusing on, this is the sort of structure that I use.
Sounds really powerful. And I like that you have all of those elements, because probably some people are good at some of those steps naturally and really are not, don't have the other ones on their radar, you know, and that having that, what, since you're working through all of them, it allows people to maybe pick up what they're not naturally good at.
Yeah. And what I find is that you need all of them really in alignment to create the transformation. So even after you've processed your wounds, if you've had a lot of wounds, if you're carrying a lot of wounds, you won't be able to see clearly. You will be perceiving the world and your experiences through your wounds. So there needs to be a shift in perception as well. Sorry, I'm just rambling about the process, but yeah.
No, it's really good. It's really interesting. And I'm sure you have, like, you know, you have to work a lot with grief, because when you're working in the heart, you know, grief is what sort of blocks, unprocessed grief is what blocks the heart. That's
exactly
what you're saying, right? So it's hard working with grief. How do you handle it, and how do you manage it?
So it's exactly it. And what I have found over years and years of doing this work is that at the core of every issue, really, whether it's to do with love or if I'm working with someone that, you know, is with addictions or self-sabotage, it's always grief. Like at the core of everything is grief. So one of the, as a joke, I always say I make people cry for a living.
Yeah.
But in a good way, obviously. And I think over the years of grieving myself, I've grieved a lot of my own wounds. I'm able to handle it and to be okay with taking someone into their depth.
Yeah, I don't think especially here in America, we're pretty bad at dealing with grief. You know, we don't handle it very well. And I was working with somebody from sort of a more tribal culture, and she lost a child, which I think is the worst grief really we can have. And she said in her culture that if when somebody lost a child, there'd be, you know, people would come and they'd wail, literally like roll around on the floor and they cry. Like every woman within a 5-mile radius would come and they would all wail together and they would cry and they would, you know, and somebody would stop and another one would start and it would just go on for a couple of days. And so the grief was honored and shared, you know. And she said then she moved here to America and had this incredible loss and no one, you know, she got a few casseroles and a couple of Hallmark cards. And she was really stuck with it because she said she couldn't.
Wow.
Because there wasn't this process of wailing that I think, oh my God, how beautiful. And somehow we've really left this behind.
Yeah, and it's just given me goosebumps what you said, and what I'm hearing is the women were connecting to her heart and sort of and touching a little bit of her pain and caring a little bit for her so that she could feel safe and process it. Yeah. And this is exactly what I was sharing in the beginning. This is partly what I do. They're probably, you know, the clients are, most of them are not aware of what I'm doing, but, you know, as you know, working as a healer, I'm working energetically with my consciousness, with my heart, and I can feel when I'm touching their heart, basically, and pulling out their wounds. And I can even feel when they're fighting me, when they feel scared, when they, you know, pull it back in. And obviously, gently, I can pick up whether it's a perception thing. And I'm able to describe how they are feeling, better than they can by doing this work a lot, by talking to them and being in this process of being present and feeling their wounds. That's what creates, I think, healing.
Yeah, me too. I think so too. And like, you really are like, you know, have that sort of empathic gift, you know, so that when you're talking about, you can feel in your body what they're feeling in their body, you can
feel
your emotions, what you're feeling, you know, how they're feeling in their emotions. And in my mind, I do a lot of work with training sensitives and empaths and healers and psychics. That's really where I work.
Nice.
But I love that you have found sort of the pinnacle of like the perfect thing to do with your gift as an empath, where most people who are really sensitive, highly sensitive, feel they feel quite victimized by it, and it's a horrible gift, it's a curse, that sensitivity, and take it, make it go away. you've found this beautiful, and I think it's the gift of the healer, you know, like that it's a perfect diagnostic tool for healers. And I'm so like impressed that you've found such a beautiful way to share this gift with people.
Oh, thank you. It did take me a long time though. You know, I was always, as a child, like I said, I wasn't taught how to process my emotions and what is the sensitivity. So I did spend a lot of my childhood crying, overwhelmed, and obviously in teenage years, stressed out and not understanding what was mine, what was other people. So it did take me a long time, but I'm happy. I'm still on the journey, but I'm happy that I'm in a space where, like you said, I feel more empowered with this gift.
Do you have certain techniques or practices you do to totally internalize what you're picking up?
So there are two tools that I use. One of them is a homeopathic remedy. It's called Sepia. Have you heard of it?
Yeah, but I've never used it for that.
It's awesome. It changed. It's very subtle. But it works really, really well. Another one is essential oils. I use essential oils a lot. I diffuse it. There's one particular that I use called White Angelica, and that's to just protect my energy field. And then there's obviously, you know, meditations, grounding, earthing, and all of that that I use as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, me too. And I like water for this purpose. I feel like empaths are often attuned to water, so for me, it's the shower or the beach, you know, swimming in the oceans, salt water. If I've had a day where I've done a lot of empathic, you know, work,
yes.
I get in the tub and I have a big one, you know, so I get in all the way up to my neck and I put a lot of salt in there. And for me, that's really like, that does the trick.
Yeah, I do the same actually. Yeah, salt baths. Yeah.
Yep. Really good. Well, that's good. I'll have to check out the White Angelica and the Sepia, because I'm always looking for new ways. And I know, like, I so appreciate the fact that you said you've done all your inner work first, because I know you can't go somewhere with a client that you haven't been in yourself.
Yeah.
So you have to be able to handle your own grief. And I think that's why people here in the States are so terrible really at it, because we're not really we don't handle our own grief very well. It makes us uncomfortable, so when other people are grieving, we turn away in a way, you know.
Yeah, I think it's not just in the States, you know. My father's English, they're very close to emotions as well. I think this is everywhere in the world.
Everywhere, maybe. Yeah. So Melanie, how can people get in touch with you if they want to know more about your work?
So you can go to my website. It's melanie-oliver.com, and it's Melanie with a Y. I am quite active on Facebook and Instagram. And again, it's just my name, and it's Melanie with a Y dot Oliver. I have a YouTube channel, which you can check out as well. And, or you can just email me directly on info@melanie-oliver.com. And again, it's Melanie with a Y. And yeah, so you can check out my programs on my website and see what resonates.
Wow. Well, thank you so much for joining us today all the way from Dubai. And I'm so glad you can, you know, I love the work that you're doing. I think it's very powerful and very, very needed. So thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you for having me. I really enjoyed this.
Yeah, me too. And thank all of you guys for joining us today on The Miracle of Healing, where we are healing the planet one person at a time, right here on Empower Radio.